Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the show. And today's guest is Daryl E. Berry Jr. Daryl, cheers for joining us, mate.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
No worries. Would you like to go into sort of how you got into this subject? Because, well, subjects, really. You cover a lot of areas, not just from extraterrestrial encounters, but out-of-body experiences, the psychic side of things. There's going to be a link to your website at the bottom of the description area where people download the audio version of this on the website so people can go there straight away and see a lot more. But how did you get into this whole field?
Actually, it all started spontaneously when I was about 4 or 5 years old. Around dusk, I suddenly started to feel sort of lethargic, sort of very, very heavy. And I decided that I would go, you know, lay down until I felt better. And the closer I got to the bed, the heavier I got. And to the point that I had to sort of plop myself down on the bed and in hopes that I can go to sleep and feel better. So I did that. I plopped down on the bed. And after a certain amount of time, I started feeling better. So I figured, let me get up and tell my mom that I'm feeling better so she's not worried, because the last thing I told her was, you know, I'm not feeling too well. I'm feeling heavy. I'm going to go lay down. So I get up out of bed and I go to, you know, tell her that I'm feeling better. So I go to open the door and my hand goes through the doorknob. So I try to open up the door again, and whoosh, my hand goes through the doorknob. So that's when I look back to the bed and see this lump on the bed, which I surmise is my physical body, and that's how my journey began.
Amazing. When that happened, I know it was a long time ago, was there any sort of sensation when you tried to grab the door? Was there even a feeling of, once you realized what was going on, unboundedness, like you were connected to everything? Was there anything like that, or... That was just sort of the first introduction.
I've had transcendent experiences, but that was not one at all. I mean, if it wasn't for the fact that my hand went to the doorknob and I was able to see the lump on the bed, I thought I was physical. So Everything about that experience was physical in my experience, except that I could walk through walls and my mom couldn't see me when I made it through the walls and everything. I got into the kitchen. So, you know, sometimes you have an out-of-body experience, and it's, for lack of a better word, such a solid out-of-body experience that it really feels like you're in your physical body, you know.
So there was nothing mystical about it at all. How did things go from there? Like, did it just happen occasionally? Because obviously, you know, this is what you do now. You delve right into this subject, but how did it progress from there?
Several ways. One sort of embarrassing way it progressed was I used to have to get up to use the restroom as a kid. I used to tell myself I'm going to get up to use the restroom. I'll leave my body on the bed. there was a period of time when I used to float towards the ceiling a lot, for a period of several months, I used to sleep with my nose to the ceiling. And for the longest time, I didn't know that was really going on, because I used to go to sleep and I would feel this sensation of floating, you know, and I used to think it was just another one of my flying dreams. And I used to feel myself floating as I slept while I'm sleeping. But one time, I heard this whooshing sound going through me, whoosh, 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 which was like, okay, what is this? This is something new. This is not just floating. So I opened up my awareness and looked to the side, and the ceiling fan blade was going through my body. And then I looked up, and my nose was to the ceiling. My nose was about an inch from the ceiling, at which point I looked back at the bed, lump on the bed, and I fell back into my body. So I had several spontaneous experiences of getting up and leaving my body when I'm trying to go to the restroom, of floating to the ceiling, laying at the ceiling. For the longest time, it was spontaneous like that until in one of my elementary school classes, the teacher told us about Big Ben the clock over there overseas. So I thought, maybe I can do something with this thing. So I remember going to see my mom, and I'm floating up to the ceiling. It was a few times when I walked down the block at night out of body. So I figured, I wonder if I could do something with this thing. And that's the first directed thing I did. I went and visited the Big Ben clock on the other side of the planet. And it was strange, because it didn't even occur to me as a kid that it would be daytime over there, you know, being that I'm in the United States, and that's like in England or Britain or wherever it is over there, London. So I appear there, and I see people walking around. It's daytime. It's like, oh my gosh. And I'm naked, so I think they can see me. It was a quite interesting experience. And that's also the first time what I call fail-safe kicked in, because what I found is it doesn't happen so much now because I've gotten so much used to it. But when I was a kid, a lot of things would shock me every once in a while. And what I noticed would happen is if I'm having an experience and something would really shock me or alert me, I would immediately get pulled back to my physical body at a rapid pace. I'm talking about lightning speed pace. And that time when I got pulled back, I seemed to slam into my physical body. And once I slammed, my physical body shook violently. And later when I researched it, I found out that's called the repercussion. So that was like the first time I actually directed myself to a certain location. And eventually, like I said, I had a lot of experience while I was walking down the street. I would just suddenly become aware out of body standing in the street, and which also tied into the ET thing, because a lot of people may not realize, as you were saying earlier, consciousness development is integrally related to ET contact. So around this same period of time, I was having regular contact by seeing extraterrestrial grays standing in the living room or standing outside the door. So it was a period of time when I would regularly see these gray alien beings in the home while I was also having out-of-body experiences. And I'm certain that I remember those experiences because a lot of these beings exist at a frequency that matches what we call the theta state, the theta altered state of deep meditation, you know, which is why a lot of people can have experiences and it seems so dreamy, even though they're there physically, because these beings operate at a higher frequency. And when we interact with them, our vibrations go up, theirs come down, and we meet in the middle. But there was one experience that stuck out really well as a childhood experience where, you know, I was used to floating up at the ceiling and laying at the ceiling. You know, it's to be pretty old hat. I used to just be used to this, laying at the ceiling all night until I floated back down in the morning. Well, one night I felt myself floating and I thought, okay, I'm just in my floating thing again. But I didn't stop. I didn't stop at the ceiling. For whatever reason, this night I kept floating higher and higher and higher. I could feel myself going through the ceiling. I could feel myself going up. And suddenly I was about two stories above the house, steadily going up. Now I'm freaking out. I'm thinking I'm going to be lost in space. I'm looking up and I'm seeing the stars. Oddly enough, I look to the side and I see me. Much as I look now, I see a future version of me, an advanced future version of me. And I'm not the only one to have seen this future version of me. Like I know other out-of-body explorers, and apparently there's a future version of me running around. So eventually I'll get to the point where I'm super advanced and I'll go back in time and see myself and do some other things. But it's pretty... time travel during the out-of-body experience is a pretty common thing, and of course you can find it in people's experiences if you read about it. But several interesting childhood experiences. Also, you know, a lot of people try to gloss over the fact about, you know, there's no negativity and stuff like that. Just like in the physical world, how there's negative beings in the physical world, people don't die and suddenly become angels. You know, so there's negative beings. There's beings people call demonic entities. I don't necessarily refer to them as demonic entities, but lower astral entities or whatever you want to call it. So there was a large period of time when I was a kid where this negative entity used to chase me. I used to watch this show called Friday the 13th with Freddy, you know, and this being took the guise of Freddy. And of course, I didn't know that at the time. I thought it was just Freddy. And every night when I was spontaneously out of body, this being would literally chase me. It would either chase me through non-physical dimensions. It would chase me around the neighborhood. Sometimes it would be a blend of sort of a physical, non-physical dimension as I look back. But the being would chase me every single night. I would be terrified of going to sleep because I know this being would chase me. But eventually, just like the bully in school, you get tired of it. And I figured if I punch this bully in the nose, finally he'll leave me alone. And by this time, I did enough things to where, I mean, by this time, I probably had hundreds of out-of-body experiences, if not more. So I knew that you had a certain amount of control over the environment with your thoughts. So what I actually did was I imagined a bunch of kids. And when I imagined that, they actually took form in the non-physical dimension, and I imagined these beings jumping this entity and beating it up. And from that point, it left me alone. And there was a large period of time when I was a child after that experience where I literally sought out what people would call demonic entities. Like I would literally, and I can't really say how I found it. I guess, you know, there was a certain period of time, you know, what do you call it, my vibrations with a certain frequency or whatever, but I would spontaneously become aware in these lower level astral realms where you would see beings that look like demons. There was beings that look like, you know, Jabba the Hutt from Star Wars. Mm-hmm. There's actually beings that look like that. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if, whether consciously or unconsciously, a lot of these artists and makeup artists or whatever, they get their ideas from these different characters in movies. They get it from dreams where they saw these things. But I will consciously go to these areas and battle these beings just to prove that I can do it, just to get over the fear. And of course, after a little bit of time, I grew out of doing that. But you could definitely meet negative beings there. You can meet aliens there. So I had a very, very potent fertile ground of growth when I was a kid to help initiate me into the experience, both extraterrestrial and out of body experience.
So it seems like there's a whole sort of gamut here, which it does come into. It's not just, one sort of entity people interact with. There's multiple things, multiple realms, multiple vibrations going on. Definitely. All the way from what what I normally say is self-serving to those in service mode. You've got this whole wide range of things going on. How's it progressed to today in terms of, like, for example, do you understand the nature behind some of the beings you're interacting with and why you're interacting with them? And even some of the, go into some of this stuff with the future you. Why is that happening? If it's been revealed to you, why it's happening, the interactions there?
Yes. Well, I mean, there's different beings that have different purposes. Like one time I met this being called Okano. So let me back up some.
Yeah.
Because I've gone through my periods of time when I've practiced and I've stopped practicing. I've just started practicing again. But I was in one period of high practice. And this being would show himself in my theta imagery. We're talking about that theta level where you see imagery. Like sometimes when people go to sleep, they see little scenes in front of their vision. And this being was wearing this purple robe. I couldn't see his face. His face was blacked out. I couldn't see his hands. And over time, he gradually showed himself to me. Gradually I started to see his hands, and eventually he took his robe off. He was about a 6 or 7 foot tall gray alien being with ridges on his head, unlike I've ever seen before in illustrations or anything. And he told me he was a father of mine in a previous lifetime, in another lifetime. So apparently he was coming to help me. And as a matter of fact, when I was a kid, the Grays used to tell me that they were my real family. So a lot of the interactions we have, both extraterrestrial and interdimensional, are actually beings that we know from different lifetimes. Mm-hmm. A lot of our guides are actually beings from different lifetimes. Some of them are just beings, like you were saying, more service-oriented beings, where just like today, you have people like Mother Teresa in the physical world. Mm-hmm. Some people are like that in the non-physical dimension. And I mentioned Okano's to lead into that. It got to the point where I started telepathically communicating with him. Then it got to the point where I started getting out of body and meeting him. And he told me, he said, I was asking him about dimensions or whatever. And he said there's even a level of dimension that he called the guide plane. And I was like, okay, that's interesting. And immediately he teleported me in an out-of-body experience to this location. And I appeared in this realm that was nothing but gold. Everything was gold. And, you could see a sort of ground, but it was made of gold. All the beings were made of gold. He was explaining to me how this is a realm where beings who act as guides, this is where they congregate, like their vibrational frequency. And I asked him, well, how do these beings know someone is seeking for a guide? And he said, at this level, intent is physical. So there's some realms where emotion is physical. There's some realms where thought is physical. And there's some realms where intent is like a physical object, like this book. So just then, I saw an area of the ground rise up in a cone. And this golden being walked over and touched it. And as soon as he touched that cone, it was a brilliant flash. And Okano's told me, a being just made contact with this guide. So there's beings like that. There's beings who apparently they're just not human. They're just negative, non-human beings. And I guess it could be that they were human, but some kind of way atrophied or deteriorated. But, but the thing about those realms, you really only end up there if you just, maybe you're a new traveler like when I was a kid, or you just have a lot of negative thoughts. A very good example is, but this could have been a thought form, but it illustrates the point. I was practicing about, I guess this was about a month ago now, and I'm starting to get into practice, because the thing is, I've done so much that it takes a lot to motivate me to practice nowadays. So I'm trying to motivate to get more experience, write another book about it or whatever. So I'm practicing, and I said, let me motivate myself and watch some movies. And I made the mistake of getting this movie called Insidious. So, I read this movie about this demonic being, and I went to practice. And as soon as I hit theta, I see this being up at my ceiling looking exactly like this entity. So that could have been a thought form that I made, or it could have been just a negative entity that was sort of attracted by my own fear thoughts about thinking about this movie. So, you know, there's just beings that are just negative. You know, just like how when you look out in the physical world, there's sort of crime-ridden areas where crime-ridden people live, and it's like that. So there's an entire swath of people now, entities. Now, future me, that hasn't come to fruition. I've only seen them once. And a friend of mine has seen him once because ever since I started practicing again, my friend would come and visit me sometime, and he told me that he saw future me there. So, and then when you look at Robert Monroe, he got to the point where he became future me, and he went back and helped himself a few times. So I think it's just the way the universe works. Just the way the universe works, you know, first of all, from the level of mind, there's really only one thing. There's really only one thing in existence. There's only one moment in time in existence. There's really only one moment in space in existence. And we talk about all these different dimensions and spaces and times, but it's really looking at this one thing from different angles. So from that overall perspective, everything is in a sense working together for evolvement. Now, that's not the original purpose of the universe, but we made a choice after the original purpose of the universe to use it in that way. So it's very common for people to go back in time to help themselves, go into the future to help themselves, for people from different lifetimes to help themselves. Very common thing. So it's just the way the universe works. So, you know, I haven't reached a point yet where I become future me, but apparently future me is starting to be around me a lot more. So perhaps right now, since I'm starting to practice again, this time I'll evolve into that future me. But you might be surprised to find, I mean, I'm pretty sure a lot of people run into themselves but just don't realize it, especially when you get into the extraterrestrial thing. When you get into Darrell Anka, who channels the Essesane, Bashar, his primary contact is him from his future lifetime as a Essesane. Look at Lisa Royal, who channels Sasha, who's a Pleiadian. Her future, her next lifetime is as a Pleiadian. So really the universe in that sense is quite selfish.
Yeah, it
Most
is.
of the time when somebody's helping you is you or a different version of you or a person from your lifetime. And one way these two ascended masters that contacted this guy named Gary Renard describe it, they describe it as we have a sort of soul group, I guess you could say, where people have a certain orbit. Certain different consciousnesses or different minds have a certain orbit where, you know, they may rotate closer or farther away from each other, but, you know, there's a certain soul group, some people call it, that very repeatedly interact with each other. Sometimes they interact in the same lifetime and they're married or they're brother and sister. Sometimes they interact in different lifetimes where one is a spirit guide or one is incarnate. Sometimes they interact in the same lifetime in a sense. One is an extraterrestrial, one is a human. So it's just the way the universe works. I don't, you know, it's not necessarily mystical. At first, when I've really learned about it, it seems sort of special and mystical. Oh, I was a gray and I was this and I was that. But then you realize everybody's that. Everybody was a gray or a Pleiadian. There's going to be a Pleiadian. It's really nothing special. Everybody has had contact. Everybody has. It's just most people are not trained to the point where they remember the contacts they have or where they can consciously initiate contact. And that's why the out-of-body experience is intricately tied with ET contact, because again, you're having contact now, but if you're not used to going into the theta state, you will not remember it. I'm interested in whatever way, shape, or form. I'm interested in living on a world that's free, living in a world that's free. Whether it's this planet becoming more evolved or some kind of way of leaving and taking myself to a different dimension or a different planet or getting on an ET craft that is not coming back. So or reaching enlightenment when you wish you to wake up from the universe entirely. But I have effort along all of these lines. And in my effort along the lines of contacting ETs, I started a research study because I've had several contacts, which we can talk about throughout the years. But I've decided, you know, I've had several contacts. Let me have some group contacts. So I decided to start a research study where I'm trying to gather people to teach them how to have contact. Initially, nobody would join, so it was just me. So I started reaching out telepathically to make contact again. And what happened is, and I've also been practicing out of body again, so I'm starting to get into my theta state and everything. And I had an experience one night where, because I tell everybody, I say, look, I say, I'm working on making contact again. If I can get on the craft, if they let me stay, I'm not coming back. I just let people know. So, but I say, well, look, I say, but if I get on the craft, I'll do a flyby, depending on, because there might still be a few secret government groups that want to shoot them down. And, maybe there's a lot of people around that it may not be in their best interest to see. But, if it's possible, if I get on the craft, I'll try to do a flyby in your area, even pick you up if you want to come. So what happened is I went to sleep one night. I missed all of my contacts, and I had a quote dream of getting on the craft. I knew it was more than a dream. I wasn't fully conscious at the time, but I was conscious enough since I started picking up my practices again. And I was in some area, and this spherical or oval-like craft came down. And one of my nephews was there, who I've seen the out-of-body experiences before. I talk about it with him sometimes. And there was a group of people there. And apparently they was letting us come on the craft, and for a moment I hesitated because I was like, I still have my books to write, and I sort of made some commitments to do that, but I was like, the hell with it, bye y'all. So I hop on the craft and we leave, and we go a few places. I don't remember everything, but then I wake up in the morning and I'm like, crap, they brought me back. I was ready to just be gone for good because I'm not there yet. But like the next day, my friend calls me. He says, D. He says, "I'm surprised you're here. I thought you was gone. I thought you was coming to show me that you wasn't here anymore." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, I saw a craft outside of my work. I got it on video." And I said, "Tell me what the craft looks like." As soon as he mentioned, and I saw the scene because I've been working on everything, I saw clairvoyant. He said, "It looked like a sphere." He said, "I have it on video. It was hovering outside of work." And of course, I'm thinking, let me make sure it's not a balloon or something. I was like, well, what happened? Did it move very fast? What did it do? How did it leave? He said, well, it was a sphere. It was hovering outside. I caught it on video. And then he said, it just shot straight up into the air. Just straight up to the air. Whoo! So it all adds up. So apparently, it likely was a non-physical contact that I had. And I got on this craft. They took me a little joyride spin. And they had enough time to pass by my friend and show him. He was able to get it on video, which kept my promise of, if I can, we'll do a flyby. And it was pretty cool. Then he showed me a video. I could actually send it to you right now if you want to see it. It's not a good video. He took it on his camera. But you can see the sphere floating in the background. But it was pretty cool.
Yeah,
So,
send
yeah.
through the link later or something, or is it on YouTube?
I'm not in, I didn't upload it. I just have it on my computer. I could have sent it right there through Skype right there.
All right, cool.
It's not a good video anyway. It's not. I mean, it's not. Especially, isn't definitely not anything some skeptic is gonna
change their
look.
beliefs on or something. Yeah.
People who know me, I show it to them because you don't want to try to debate. I'm just letting you know, hey, this is what happened, and this is what he got on video. But the reason why I was able to remember that experience is because I've been working on my non-physical development. So, the out of body experience. If you're interested in ET contact. The out-of-body experiences is important. The altered states is important. And I'm certain that's why, as a kid, those things were tied together. I didn't really put it together like that as a kid. At the time, I just knew I see these great, these sharp, big-headed beings all the time, and I'd be floating out of my body and flying around a lot. But if you want to have contact, it's imperative that you get into altered states, which the reason why in Travel 4 I mentioned ETs and things like that as well, because they tie in precisely. So, yeah.
Oh, cool. Cool. I've got it coming through. I'll have a look at that for sure. Well, it does come down to, consciousness and, we take people out, for example, to make contact, and we actually do it from the center here. And it is about people also letting down their guard and their preconceived notions of what they think, because things are that far from what they think they are. Like a lot of the time, I've had a lot of physical contacts. I've got a lot of crafts. I've got daytime craft just 2 days ago, I think now, above the house and in 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And there's a lot of stuff we're getting like that here. But, when people come here and they see the misty stuff walking around, things just out of vibration, that's one level. But then you go to the next level, which is the multidimensional mind, which is what you're going on about, the multidimensional aspect of things. And we do guided sessions here and other things, and what happens with that is when people get into it, they start to realize that what they're interacting with a lot of the time is other facets of themselves coexisting wherever else, whatever realm. So this is where what you're talking about totally resonates with what I'm saying. One question to you, have you ever come across what I would call the rainbow geometric realms?
No, I've read about things like that. The highest realm I've been to, and I can't really necessarily describe it as a realm, but I was feeling very depressed at one period of time, and I decided to use my out-of-body experience skill to try to soothe that. So I figured, I've heard talk of the source. So I said, I'm going to try to go to the source. And what happened is I teleported into this realm before this being that was like a giant star. I should have looked like a giant star, except instead of radiating just light, it was sort of radiating shards of itself. It was like these pencil-like shards was radiating from it. And this wave, when it hit me, it was pure love and pure acceptance. And just wave like a solar wind of this pure perfect love and pure perfect acceptance hit me. And it would just not only did it hit me, but it started going through me like it was penetrating my being. And what happened is I actually tried to barricade myself from it, because we've all had things in our lives where we regret or we may feel unworthy or whatever the case is. So the being started to hit those parts of me, and I thought, if it hit that, it's not going to love me anymore. And I tried to barricade myself to it. So I just tried to just shut myself out and shield myself, but it did not work. Whatever this being or entity was, those barriers were like they just didn't exist. And it kept going deeper and deeper and deeper till it got to the very core of me, and it still loved me perfectly and accepting me perfectly. And then this wave, the wave of love and acceptance, when it reached the core of me, it sort of blew through me and started blowing off shards of my aura. So I'm just floating out of body in this realm, sort of like just basically beholden to these waves of love and acceptance. And I could just see just almost like a tornado blowing my clothes off. It would have blown off patches and aspects of my aura I guess I didn't need. And I went there like about 3 days in a row. But that's like the highest, quote, highest realm I've ever been to through the out-of-body experience, is this sort of source realm. I've spoken with another out-of-body explorer called Albert Terler, and he said that he had a similar experience. Because when I was planning to get travel far out years ago, and I started contacting other explorers in the field, other writers in the field, and talking about our experiences, and I asked him, I said, did you find out what it was? And he said he kept going. I only went there 3 times. When I went there the third time, my depression was gone, so I was okay. But apparently, he kept going there and exploring it, and he found out it was his own higher self. So. I can't. I only went there 3 times, and I experienced the perfect love and acceptance. But I can't say it necessarily as my higher self according to his experience. It was, but there are some very, very high realms out there that you can visit, and experience very high emotional or consciousness states.
Definitely. I've experienced similar to what you're describing, so I can totally understand that. My understanding is those rainbow geometric realms are just under what you're talking about, which would, what I would say is even a cell of source that, or an aspect of it, however people want to interpret it. But you've got that love, non-judgment and compassion there. It just blows all that away. There's no judgment.
That's right.
Which is, absolutely amazing when you experience it, because you go into this unbounded state of even all that is. You are future, past, present. You've got access to all those, different realms and everything from there. And it seems that everything sort of blends into that aspect there, I guess, depending on vibration or where thought or consciousness is directed. How's things opened you up? Obviously, for your experiences, this is all about consciousness, and this is where it all directs your intention and everything else. How's this changed you? Like, you've had these experiences since a young age. How's it steered your life and your personal life, for example, like with how you do things, who you interact with, and your work and everything else?
It definitely changes your perspective, your paradigm. For instance, there's no way I can be racist, because I've observed that I've lived different lifetimes as a dark-skinned person, as a light-skinned person. I don't even like saying white, black, and stuff anymore. I'm dark-skinned, you're light-skinned. It doesn't really matter. I've lived lifetimes as different religions and so on and so forth. So I would say that one of the main things is just the paradigm shift of recognizing universality. And there's other ways to recognize universality, but when you have an out-of-body experience, like this is one of the most striking experiences I've had as a kid. Like I said, I used to commonly float at the ceiling, and one night or morning, whatever you want to call it, I was floating, And I just thought, okay, this is, common, But I noticed I didn't really have a body. And I noticed that I was on the wrong side of the ceiling. Ironically, that was the weird thing. It wasn't that I was floating, is that I'm on the wrong side of the room, what's going on. So I realized I'm on the wrong side of the room. And, my bed is by the window, and I'm floating like near the dresser across the other side. And I see on the bed the lump that's my physical body. And I see near the ceiling my non-physical body. And that's why if you look at the cover of the Tribal Four, that's where this symbol comes from.
That's
So
your
this
book there,
bottom represents my
yeah.
physical body. Yeah. This represents the non-physical body, and that dot represents the consciousness. It's based upon that experience I had as a child. And that's when it dawned upon me that I'm this consciousness. If I'm anything in the universe, I'm consciousness. I'm not this physical body. So everybody, that's the same thing. It doesn't matter what color your skin is, doesn't matter what religion you believe in, it doesn't matter what year you were born in, doesn't matter what it doesn't matter any of that stuff. If you get out of body and then you leave your non-physical body, and I get out of body and then you leave your non-physical body, we'll both be the same field of energy, the same field of consciousness. So, just that one recognition totally demolishes so much of the ills that's going on the planet. I'm American and you're whatever, so let's fight. You're this kind of Muslim and I'm that kind of Muslim, let's fight. So on and so on and so forth. So it's just that one shift. And I'm not saying that's my self-identification all the time. I mean, I often identify with my body. It's just there's a shift to where I don't identify in such a limiting way to where I judge someone else for their differences of body. So I would say that's one of the main things, But I mean, again, there's other ways to do that as well. I mean, there's people who, of course, never consciously go out of body and are not racist. So I'm not saying everybody needs to go out of body to finally have world peace or whatever, but I would say that's definitely a plus in that direction. I mean, in other words, if everybody in the world had that experience, the world would change overnight. So that's what I would say is the main part, the identity shift away from body identity, more towards consciousness identity is probably the main shift that happened for me with that without a body experience.
It's amazing what you just said then, because I've talked about this on the show before, and there are times when I'm filming a craft or having an experience, right? And I'm on the craft looking down at myself, and then again, I'm outside of the craft looking down on the craft looking down on myself. And what you described is exactly the best interpretation of what's going on, as the consciousness is looking down on a non-physical body, which would be some type of my interdimensional self on the craft or in a Merkaba or whatever the case may be. And then I'm looking down, perceiving both of that in the human experience, looking up at that, if you can, you un like, do you understand what I'm
Actually,
saying?
let me throw you for another loop. Let me throw you for another loop with there. A lot of times, believe it or not, when you have an experience where you see yourself looking down from the craft, a lot of times it's because it's you on the craft.
Oh, definitely. That's it.
I mean, you from a different lifetime on the craft. And because you're the same person, there could be a sort of memory overlay where the data sort of floats around and is you. A perfect example is one of the spontaneous out-of-body experiences I had was I went into the future, and I didn't realize what was going on, but I went into my future body, and when I was in my future body, I couldn't control my future body, but I was able to look through my future eyes and see what was going on, and there was a certain period of time in which future me started frantically looking around. And but when I got to that period of time in real time, and I realized this is the time when I was in my body, and I started looking around frantically to confirm that this is what I saw, and then I realized that's why I looked around, because I was remembering what I remembered in the out-of-body experience in the past. So you can see how the past sort of affects the future, and the future affects the past. So similarly, when you have a different lifetime, that perception could sort of overlay. And really, the future you who's on the ET craft would remember very clearly being the you looking up. So it'd be very easy for that data to kind of overlay and sort of imprint upon yourself, because really, we all have connections to all our different lifetimes. The experience of being a limited being, one single being with one lifetime, is really a lie that we tell ourselves. It's a denial to cause a certain experience and a certain dynamic. So on one level, there's really only one lifetime. If you really want to get down to it, there's really only one mind appearing as many. But this one mind because of the original purpose of the universe, which is separation, one of the ways that division takes is this illusion of different lifetimes and the way it plays out. But when you're meeting one of your different lifetimes, you could very easily have a transfer of information, and you could be seeing yourself from your future self's perspective. And then, of course, that future self could be seeing from your perspective. I remember when that was me looking up at my craft. You know, you see what I'm saying? So it's pretty cool.
Definitely, definitely.
And, of course, then there was the non-physical aspect as well that was outside the craft. It could have been both of you, non-physically outside the craft at the same time. Several out-of-body experiences I've had, and even dreams. I mean, people can have dreams where they see themselves in the dream while they're acting in the dream. So it's a pretty established aspect of consciousness to where it can multiply itself in different ways, and you could be in body and out of body at the same time. As a matter of fact, that source experience is the perfect example of that, because when I was hovering in front of that source, and when those waves of love and acceptance was hitting me, and it was just so beautiful to be, like you said, accepted without judgment, and physically I started to cry. And I was still hovering in front of the source, but physically I started wiping my tears. So in that moment, I was both in body and out of body at the same time. I was in body wiping the tears from my eyes, but also out of body consciously in front of the source, experienced that love and acceptance. So it's actually a pretty established aspect of consciousness that it can duplicate itself I don't know how many times. And you can experience each of those locations from a firsthand perspective, as well as the data sort of intertwining and overlapping. So it's pretty interesting.
Definitely. And what's your interpretation on the dreams as well, like in terms of sometimes they're dreams, sometimes they're experiences? What's something you could say to people to sort of be able to tell, look, there's more to that than it just being a dream per se, or, you know, what people just want to blow off when sometimes there can be really something to it?
Good question. First, let's establish exactly what a dream is. A nocturnal dream that we have when we're sleeping is no different, in my experience and observation over years of firsthand investigation, is no different than a hallucination that we have when we're called daydreaming. You know, you're sitting down and your mind wanders and you see yourself, you know, doing whatever somewhere else, and then you come to and you're still sitting in your chair. You didn't go anywhere. When we're physically sleeping, that's the same thing that happens, and we call it a nocturnal dream. So a nocturnal dream proper, where it's just our hallucination, that does happen. We're basically daydreaming while we're sleeping. And what's happening is the non-physical body is actually normally floating, you know, an inch or two out of the body, or if you're a bit more experienced with it, it might, as a kid, you know, float at the ceiling. But basically, your non-physical body is floating closer to your physical body, so you're out of body, but your non-physical self is hallucinating. That's a dream proper. Now, what happens is you can also be having an out-of-body experience in which it's unclear, and because of the hazy nature of the perception, it can be interpreted as a dream. And that happens a lot as well. And of course, getting into the outer body, into the ET encounters, you're going to have a physical encounter with ETs. And because, again, you're not trained enough at hitting those altered states, you can become slightly conscious, but it seems sort of hazy and like a dream. The way that you find out which is which is by testing the experience. So I never, you know, in my experience, at least from my perspective personally, I've broken it down to a science. I mean, mainstream science may not consider it that, but, you know, when you break down the altered states, the process of getting out of body, I've done it several times over the years. And like I said, I've started and stopped over and over. I had to start up again. I've taught dozens, if not hundreds of people. It's really a science. So when you get into the out of body experience, you can test it. If you see someone out of body, or at least if you see somebody, you don't know if it's a dream or an out of body experience, call them up and say, did you dream about me last night? You know, test it out, try to validate it. And if you have an out of body experience, you'll find, you know, you dreamt about somebody, quote unquote. And you call them up the next day and you say, hey, did you dream about me last night? Yeah, I dreamt we was in this warehouse doing some crazy stuff. Wow, I had the same, quote, dream, you know. Or you have a dream and you see somebody in a location and you call them up. Yeah, I was in this location at that period of time, and so on and so forth. I would say test it. Now, if you're conscious enough in the experience, and you want to make sure, let's say it's, for instance, an out-of-body experience, then what you can do is you could think about your physical body and reconnect and then relax and reinitiate the experience. So I found if I'm having a very hazy experience, I'm not sure what's going on, it may be a dream, it may be a hazy out-of-body experience, And remember, because when you're sleeping and you're nocturnally dreaming, your physical body and non-physical body are already disconnected. So if you think of your physical body, I found you always really reconnect with your, I guess I have to say always, but almost always you reconnect with the non-physical body, at which point you could just roll out or get up or attend yourself, and you'll be in a much more clear out-of-body experience since you initiated consciously. So that's all I would say. I would say test it. Now, of course, if you have an ET experience, well, that might not be so easy to test if, you know, you don't see anybody there who you don't know. But, you know, if you have an experience and it seems real enough that you question it, I would say give yourself the benefit of the doubt. If it's an experience where you just absolutely can't test, I mean, we've had enough dreams where we pretty much know if something is just a crazy dream. And usually some crazy stuff happens. You know, there's a pink elephant in the living room with wings that's trying to bite your leg off. That's probably a dream, right? But if you have a quote dream about seeing this alien being, and he seems like a calm, reasonable being, and if it was a stable, purely clear vision, you can see that as being an actual encounter, you know, then it's probably something more. So if you can't test it, give yourself the benefit of the doubt. And but that only comes with testing it. You know, a lot of my ability to discern is from doing this just that, you know, because if you have several experiences that you can't discern, and then you start testing what you can discern, you'll be able to correlate. Okay, I tested this and that was real. I knew that was real. I called up whoever and he had the same experience. So if that was real and I know how that seemed to me, I know how that felt, I know how my perceptions were. And it's the same way I felt in this other experience where I saw this alien being that I couldn't verify, but that one must be real either. Again, I'm be real also. Again, science. If A equals B and B equals C, then A equals C. So if this, I validated it and I know it's real, and the nature, the feeling, right, of this experience matches that experience that I couldn't validate, that experience must also be real because it's the same nature of the experience. So just test whatever you can, and it'll all fall into place. Don't accept it on belief. Don't accept it on faith. Test everything you can. And if you can't test it, give yourself the benefit of the doubt. Bring that experience with you and wait until you can have an experience that's close enough to it where you can correlate it and test it together. So that's really all I do. I treat it like science. And if I have anything to do with it, you know, I don't know how many years from now, but this stuff will be recognized as science. It will be recognized as science as far as the telepathy we use to contact ETs, the way we get into alter the dimensions that we experience when we go into the out of body state. All of this stuff will eventually be validated as science, as a different aspect, a different area of the universe. That's a valid area of the universe. I think a lot of the reason why it's not necessarily validated now is simply because we don't have the technology, at least in general circles. You never know what they have in these black project things nowadays. But we don't generally have the technology to test this stuff like we could. I mean, there's ET races, people that have given accounts to where they can sit you down and they can record your dreams while you sleep. Think about that. I'm sure you've ran into that before. These people have technology to where they can read your different lifetimes. They can actually read your soul history. So these beings, because their technology has progressed to the point to where it is integrated with consciousness, oftentimes actually run and operate it with consciousness, it could actually read consciousness, just like how we read physical words in a book. So eventually, when we have a technology that is at that level in the general population, again, I don't know what they have in their secret societies, this stuff will be able to be validated. But all we can do now is validate data to the fullest extent we can, and that's with collaboration. That's why now another researcher, because my company is called Next Density Research, Education, and Development Center. So not only am I educating my writing, but I'm also doing several research studies to help, you know, build data and validate. And one of the research studies I started is a more advanced research study to where I'm collecting people who can out-of-body travel consciously, and we're doing things like meeting each other and confirming, which is awesome. So there's so many different ways that you can validate it now to where it's just laughable when a skeptic comes up and says all those things are just dreams. It's just laughable. You know, all you have to do is test it, and it will prove itself, you know.
And that's how a lot of this will play out in terms of being validated, is coming at things not just outside the box, but with a higher level of consciousness. And of course, out of the public domain, there's a lot of technology and things that, because they're coming at it with a high level of consciousness, which is esoteric knowledge, I guess, selected few kept secret, they've got these amazing forms of technology, just like the ETs and the interdimensional beings. They've got a higher level of consciousness. So as soon as we go down that path where we start to open up more and we start to not, you know, be controlled so much and start to think outside the box and for ourselves, I think we'll start to tap in that. But you're exactly right. Right now, there's that many studies that have been done that it's laughable now to say that, you know, what you and I are talking about is a load of crap. It's just, it's mm-hmm. getting to the point where that's absolutely ridiculous now. And, you know, things are opening up. And like I've said to many people, we can see, you know, the last few years, people are now opening up to not really conspiracy theories. They're actually seeing conspiracies for what they are, whether it's, you know, with the local police or the government or the That's council, right. whatever's going on with, you know, frauds being done and what's going on, where 10, 15 years ago, people were saying, no, they wouldn't do that. Now we know that there are people that will do that. So That's what right. else is possible? So we're looking at this whole wide range of things, and it's absolutely fantastic that you're doing the studies that you're doing, because what you're doing is you're using scientific methods and you're calculating, you're looking at things, you're correlating things, you've got people working with you doing, you know, these out-of-body experiences. And we do similar stuff here where we'll go out of body or do, you know, psychic stuff, and, you know, people will get it validated. And this is where it's repeatable with the True. Contact side of things. It's repeatable, but not always with the same beings. And I think it's got to do, again, with intention and frequency, but manifesting or interacting with something, that's repeatable. So there's many, you That's know, right. different things that, you know, are going on now around the world where these things are going on. Do you go out much and make contact with the crafts and the beings in the crafts with other people, or is it just something you're just doing occasionally?
Well, I mean, you're saying, do I personally do it often?
Yep.
Just whenever I put my mind to it, I find whenever I put my mind to it, I have contact, I have experiences. So according to Sasha from the Pleiadians, mm-hmm. everyone is having contact.
Yeah, that's the same everyone information I've got contact. Too from a Pleiadian as well, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's not even such a matter of initiating contact to an extent. It's a matter of training ourselves to be conscious of the contact we're already having. And of course, I'm certain when we start to do it consciously, we have more contact. But everybody's having contact. So I find, you know, when I start meditating more, when I start telepathically calling more, lo and behold, I start having more contact. Like, you know, before I had the contact, well, I got on the craft and my friend Lewis videotaped it, I had a non-physical experience where I saw this female being, which I knew was some kind of entity. And then Lewis told me, I saw this Pleiadian, you know, she said that she knew you. You know, it add up. So, you know, like there's certain beings, they will go to, like the people in the research said, they will go amongst us and let them know, let us all know that they know us. You know what I'm saying? So, so it's just a matter of intention, you know. So as much as anybody wants to have contact, they can have contact. You can have contact. And it just takes a little bit of work, a little bit of practice at an altered state, a little bit of practice and putting your mind at the proper place. Because the fact is, most people, even today, still block this stuff out, either consciously or just unconsciously or habitually, with our, you know, addicted focus into the third dimension, the third density reality, you know. And you know, and a lot of people talk about the, you know, speak from a victimhood perspective and say, oh, the government is doing all this stuff to distract people and so on and so forth. That's hogwash to me, you know. You know, people know as much as they want to know. So I just try to just focus on myself and just try to more and more align myself with the state of being that matches the kind of world that I want. And part of that, in my experience, has to do with making contact. I think the more of us makes contact, which means the more of us put our intentions towards making contact, we'll have more contact, and it'll be a beacon to these beings, letting them know that we're ready. And also, it can align you with a different timeline in which open contact is happening, because the fact is, there is a timeline where open contact is happening. You know, Bashar said that, Bashar from the Esasinda civilization, he said that by, I believe he said 2032, open contact will be going on. That's not too long ago. That's not too long from now. So all the things that we're doing, that you're doing with your group and your center, making contact, and I'm doing, and Lisa Rial is doing, and Daryl Lanka is doing, and Stephen Greer is doing, all of it is important. So you listening to this, you need to hop on it. If you want to experience that world, start the day, start meditating, start practicing, you know. And I would say, like you were saying about The concepts that people have, how it's so far away from reality. One of the things that I do in my group, we researched this book, this book called Preparing for Contact. Let me show you the cover really fast. So I would suggest, and this is by Lisa Royal. She's a contact with the Pleiadians. So anybody who joins my research study, they have to get this book. So if they're willing to get this book and start to read it and look at different ways of thinking, because Stephen Greer gave an experience one time to where he was having a contact outing, and apparently this lady was trying to get in touch with them. Maybe she was a reporter or something. She was trying to get some kind of statement, and she happened to catch up with them at a contact experience, and they was going out to do their field work. She tagged along, and his craft showed up, and when his craft started to come closer and closer and closer, she became terrified. And apparently the being sensed her fear and went away because they're not trying to traumatize people. So, especially if you have a group, it's very important that everybody is on the same page,
It
or at the
is.
least in the same ballpark. So that's one of the ways that I do that is by, we go through preparing for contact, and it talks about all the states and how it's important. It talks about the fears. It talks about the unconscious. It gives several, contact experiences of people in her group. So I definitely suggest it. And Stephen Greer made this sort of map where you can go on and anybody who wants to have a C5 group can contact people who want the same thing. And I contacted everybody in a 50-mile radius, and nobody wanted to join except this one lady eventually. So there's still a lot of fear around that. So I mean, if you're afraid, I will get the book Preparing for Contact, and it'll definitely help open your mind and ease your fears. But I have another contact outing in next month, actually, and me and this lady be going to go in and see if we can make some contact. And another thing I would let people know is again, make sure you open up your mind, like you were saying, that every contact is physical. Like I said, I had that contact where I got on the craft. It seemed to be a non-physical experience, but it was a group with a physical craft that showed themselves to my friend, and he had it on video. So don't discount anything. Like I said, give it the benefit of the doubt. If you have an experience and it seems dreamy, make a mental note of it, because some of these beings exist on our non-physical dimension. Some of these beings, their physical dimension is what we call non-physical. So some of these beings can't, in a sense, meet us physically. And of course, some of them do meet us physically, but they start by meeting us non-physically. So a lot of things are going on many different levels. So you have to have an open mind to, and if you discount any one thing, that could actually close yourself off from experiencing other things. So it's very important to have an open mind, because being open actually affects your vibration.
Oh,
It actually
definitely, yeah.
affects your ability to meet that common ground where we can actually interact with these beings. So it's very important.
It definitely is. And this, sometimes the beings on the ground ready for it. They know it's going to happen that night. And a lot of the time, they'll even get the scout craft and just fly over the same path a couple of times because they're scanning the group to see where they are, either as a collective or who's fearful there. So, we've had times where even in this room, we've had the craft land like an apparition, and you see these beings in misty form going around. The Native Americans talked about that as well. And I didn't want to talk about that for so long because sometimes we are pulled to other star systems or places or on a craft, but I'd have to say majority of the time the crafts are landing on us and vibrating us into their realm and then just vibrating us back out because space and time is just nothing to these guys at the level that they're coming at it from. So there is a lot of fear behind the contact, and I think Hollywood's played a part in that. And I also think human consciousness in the aspect of what we don't know we're fearful of, and that's a barrier for us in our day-to-day life, whether it's evolving with our work, evolving relationships with friends or partners. The fear of the unknown, holds us back rather than just trying to enjoy the journey. And like I say to people, research and look at things. And yes, not everything's love and light out there, but don't be consumed by it. And it's, we look at the news and we seem to be just be consumed by negativity. Therefore, in our day-to-day life, we always, have a what I call a what if mentality. Is what if this happens or what if that happens? And people live by that, and that stops us evolving. So I think people pulling themselves out of that, we can evolve and thrive in another direction that's usually unexpected. Because I think you would agree, a lot of our experiences when you're talking to other people and they're trying to get a preconceived notion of what they're experiencing, 9 times out of 10 is nothing like they could ever fathom.
That's right. That's right. Even out about experience, you can read about the experience, but it's still, you can't quite put it into words at the same time. So, I mean, you can get a good feel of it, but yeah. So, and the thing about it is, like, I went through a period of time, like we talked about the government, and clearly we would do better off without government. But, and it was a period of time when I went through trying to convince people. There was a period of time when I went through trying to collect people and organize people to make a world different. And the sobering, hard to swallow truth that I realized was people want exactly what they have. Everything that's going on, people want it, at least collectively. And what you said was exactly right. Like when I contacted people on that map, and I let everybody know I'm starting a research study. Let me know if you want to join. We can make contact and see the craft. Get on the craft, whatever. And this one guy wrote me back. Now, keep in mind, this is somebody who listed himself on the map saying, I want to be, if you want to do CE5, contact me, let's get together. This dude wrote me back frantic. He's like, what are you doing? He's like, what if they hurt you? What if they have some kind of plague? They're coming from a different planet. They could have some kind of diseases and wipe out humanity. And he just has so many fears. And you're exactly right. I mean, it's just the fear of the unknown. But I answered all of his questions, but I never heard from him again. And just to make sure I address those things, they're not going to wipe us out with a plague because they've been here for millennia, So, I mean, we come from a different planet. We migrated here from Mars. So, these beings, if you have enough technology to go from star to star, you have a little bit of a knowledge of about bacteria and viruses. They're not going to come here and wipe out the planet. They're not going to hurt us because, well, I've had direct contact. They haven't hurt me. I'm fine. And everybody's having direct contact. So, they're not going to hurt us. Just most people just block out the fear. So, there's really nothing to be afraid of. And the fact is, everybody can have what they want. There's a multitude of timelines, and I verified this with the out-of-body experience. There's a multitude of timelines, and each timeline is as real as this one. From those timelines, we're the alternate timeline. And there's a timeline, ideally, and that's not the precise word, but ideally, there's a timeline for everybody to have what they want. So if somebody wants to be afraid and be in fear, they can have it. If somebody wants to have a world of peace and freedom, we can have that too. And the main thing is really just to focus on yourself and focus on the way you think, focus on the way you interact with others. Do you judge or do you hate? Are you honest or do you lie? So many people are so upset about the government lying, and then they go and lie. They go cheat on their wife or whatever the case is. And I mean, I'm not saying one quote sin is better than another, but I mean, if you lie in the least bit, and you shouldn't be surprised when they lie. They're just people. People talk about the government like it's some kind of entity called the government that's walking around and it's like 20 stories tall. And it's a small group of people that call themselves the government and say, give us your money or we're going to beat you up or imprison you. And we're billions of people just letting it happen. It's insane. But it's because most people want it. They want to not be responsible. They want to be irresponsible and let mommy, daddy, government handle it. And then they just complain about all the bad stuff that's going on, but then they're unwilling to do anything about it. So it's really up to you, whoever you are, up to me, up to the individual, to look within yourself and see where you match, where your thinking matches their thinking and matches their frequency and has you on a planet that's like this. So consciously, every day, I'm looking at myself and thinking, what else do I have? What other judgment do I have? What other anger do I have? What other dishonesty do I have that has me on the planet dominated by this tyrannous, deceitful government? Obviously, I must be the same way because I'm here. And that's the challenge every single person has. If you're on a planet like this, you are this way. And if you all you do is blame them, then you're lying to yourself and you're keeping yourself here. And as I do that, I notice that I'm more peaceful. I notice I judge them less because I realize everybody really has their choice. And I know I'm aligning myself more and more to that future that Bashar says in 2032, where open contact will be the case. And everybody has the opportunity to do that every single moment.
Definitely, and it's taking that self responsibility back. Mainly, it's just stepping in your own power, and that's what this is what this is about. Everyone's stepping in their own power. That's why I do what I do. It's what you do. It's just helping people help themselves and helping each other and networking. Because we've all got a piece of this. We've just all got to step up to the plate on whatever level. So,
That's right.
everyone just do your part. But in saying that, look, we'll wrap it up. But is there anything you'd like to say to the people or anything going on, any events or anything going on at the website you want to let people know before we wrap it up?
Yes, you can go to nextdensity.com, NextDensity. You can read about the research study if you like. It doesn't really matter what part of the world you're at. Ideally, I would like people in the Kentucky area of the United States so we can get together for physical contact, but it doesn't matter where you are. You know, I can still teach you and you could have your own group in your area. I just want to do a research study and we could have group contact and confirm it and so on and so forth. You could also get travel far on Amazon. So if you want to learn how to enter author states, you want to learn how to have out-of-body experiences, if you want to have develop your skills so you can remember the contact that you already have, and you can get travel far if you get the paperback version. The Kindle version is free. Also do a more advanced out-of-body study. We still go back and forth and have things come up in our lives. We're going to hit it back hard again in November or December. So if you already know how to out-of-body experience, you want to get out of body and meet other people and confirm it, you could also get that at the site. Also teach a course on the out-of-body experience as well as a 2-month intensive course. You can reach that at the site as well if anybody's interested. So, you know, so books, classes, and research studies. So education, research, and development, that's what I'm about. And, you know, just helping myself along and helping other people along if they want to go along and just doing my part to not necessarily help the world change because, again, we can't change anybody else. But you know, following my joy, living my truth, and just trying to do whatever I can to express that light that is me, which will also inevitably help everyone else. So if everyone does that, then we have a bright future to look forward to.
Definitely. Fantastic. Well, thank you for being on the show, and it would be good to get you back on sometime.
It'd be great. Thanks for having me.
No worries. Cheers, mate. Bye-bye.